Over the past few weeks, I've been sharing and reflecting with you on Bruce Wilkerson's book, Secrets of the Vine, a book in which he shares more deeply about Jesus' teaching in John 15 about the vine and the branches. And in one particular part of that book, Bruce shares about the reality at one time in his life where he experienced a crisis in his ministry. He had been involved in the ministry for a number of years, a very fruitful ministry, had done incredible things for God. And in fact, at this particular point in his life, his ministry was even more fruitful. Great place to have a sneeze in a church, I'll tell you. It's a great place. And yet there was something missing in his life. He just knew in the depth of his heart something wasn't quite right. You've ever had that experience before? Things seem to be going great, but there's something not quite right. That was the feeling he was having. He said for months he'd been working harder and longer with nothing to show for it. His passion was gone. After talking with a mentor, he realized that he was in a new season of life. The Lord was saying to him, "Put your relationship with me first. Then you'll find the joy that you're missing and so much more." And out of that, he shares what he calls the third secret of the vine. If your life bears fruit, God will invite you to abide more deeply with him. This is taken from John's gospel, again, John 15, verses 9 to 12. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Three short verses in John 15, yet there is so much in them that teaches you and I about what it means to abide more deeply in our relationship with the Lord. Abide in me means to remain, to stay there, to be closely connected to someone, and to endure. So the reality of abiding doesn't just communicate the idea of staying connected to someone, but actually it will mean in our lives that at times we'll have to endure in that relationship. Haven't you had that experience? If you've known anybody for any length of time, that kind of describes it. There are times that are great and wonderful and momentous. You don't even have a sense of time. And then there are other moments where you're definitely enduring the relationship. And you're just praying to God for the grace to make it through to the next day and to work through what's going on. Well, that's the way our relationship is with the Lord as well. It is a relationship, actually, ideally. There will be moments that are momentous and wonderful and great, and there will be other moments in our lives with the Lord where it seems like we're just making it. We have to endure. We have to keep on pressing into God. That's part of life. And so the reality is this is very important, though. In fact, abide is used in John 15 10 times, which is basically to say this is really an important word and an important concept in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, this was his teaching to the disciples the night before he died. So it's a very important teaching. And what he's saying to them in so many words is he wants to abide with them, and he wants us to abide with him. In verse 9, abiding in Christ means that we'll abide in his love. We'll remain there. We'll endure in his love, which means we'll be connected to his love. We'll be nourished by his love and empowered by his love. And one of the important things to remember about this is that your relationship with Jesus Christ can't just be an intellectual endeavor. It just can't be a religious endeavor of going through the motions, although that's part of it, right? That's part of enduring, and our mind is part of our faith and growing. That's all part of it. But you need to feel something. There needs to be a passion there. There needs to be some emotion there. Or you just don't have a relationship. You know, really, isn't that why we hang with the people that we do? For some reason, there's just a connection there. And especially with the people that we become more intimate there with, there's a love, there's an emotion, there's a feeling. And that's part of life. And that also needs to be part of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I've heard people argue with me, well, Father Joe, you just can't base your relationship with people or with God on emotions. And I say, that's true. You just can't base it on that, but it also needs to be present. Because if it's gone, there's something wrong. It's part of being human. It's part of being in relationship, is being connected and being related and being nourished and being empowered in that relationship. Got to be something going on in your relationship with the Lord, or maybe there's not a relationship. Verse 10, abiding in Christ means that we'll keep his commands. And again, the scriptures talk about his commands, don't they? I think about the Ten Commandments. You know, honor your father and mother. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall, what did Jesus say in the gospel today? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are basically the whole commandments, all of the law and the prophets, encapsulated in two sentences. And in order to, part of loving the Lord and abiding in him is honoring these words. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where honoring these words, I did it just because I was supposed to do it. Or I tried to because I was supposed to do it, right? But ultimately, the place you and I ideally will come to is that we'll honor him because we love him. We'll honor him when nobody else is looking. And we'll do that not because we have to, not because we're supposed to, but because we're abiding in him. There's a depth in relationship that's been forged over the years that brings us to a place of wanting to honor him in the way that we live. And it feels good. It feels right. And it feels beautiful. Verse 11, abiding in Christ means we'll experience great joy. Did you know being a Christian is fun? Yeah, I'm glad you're smiling. That's great. At the service last night at 5, I said, you can smile now. You can smile now. Now's the time during the service where you can smile. Part of being a Christian is having a joy about your life. If you're not having fun being a Christian, or if that sense of joy is not growing over time, again, there's something missing. And again, I'm not saying this to you to make you feel bad. I'm not saying this to put a guilt trip on you. I'm not saying this to cause you to have confusion. I'm just saying if you don't have joy in your life, in your relationship with God, there's something missing. Because what Jesus is saying is John 15, he said, I came that you might have joy and that your joy may be full. I'm not just giving you any kind of joy. I want you to be filled with joy to overflowing. And that is one of the signs that you and I are in relationship with Jesus Christ, that as a branch, we're attached to the vine, is that we will have joy. Now, does that mean every moment of your life you're going to be joyful? Absolutely not. You're going to have ups and downs. But you don't have to live in the valley all the time either, okay? There can be joy. You know, like I've said to you before, if you're confessing your sins to God a little bit later in this service and you don't have a sense of joy and excitement and enthusiasm about God's forgiveness of you, don't get off of your knees until you do. There might be something you still need to confess then. But there should be a joy that you have at being forgiven by the Lord, and a joy in relationship with him. It flows as naturally as your next breath. That's how much that joy is a part of our life. Another thing about joy is it's strengthening. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what it says in the scriptures. And the reason why it says that is because it's true. As you and I more and more welcome the joy of the Lord and learn in church that we can smile and that being a Christian can be a joyful experience, and it's meant to be a joyful experience, that is strengthening to us. That is strengthening to our spirit. God did not create you to be depressed about him and depressed about life and looking around and always seeing that the glass is half empty, but wants to invite you and I into a place where we realize the glass is more than half full. And God is going to continue to fill our life with his joy and with his strength if we would but be open to that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You feeling weak today? You feeling vulnerable? You feeling like you don't quite just have the energy in your life you once had? Look to joy. Ask God to fill you with his joy today like never before, and that will strengthen your spirit. It'll give you hope. It'll give you an energy that'll just well up deep within your soul. Verse 12, abiding in Christ means we'll love one another. We'll love the people that are easy to love in our lives, and we'll even have the grace to love the people that we struggle with, right? And we realize, you know, there are some people in your life that you're just not going to be able to love. You're not going to be able to do it in your humanity. Just for some reason, you guys just rub each other the wrong way. That's just how it is. But God can love that person through you, if you're willing. Once you get over hating them long enough, listen to me for a second. Once you get over hating them long enough for just a moment, it just takes a moment of prayer. Lord, help. Lord, help me to love this person with your love. There's no way I can do this. I know that now. Will you please help me to love them with your love? That's all God needs. He just needs a brief opening in your spirit to do the miraculous. And then talk about a joy and a strengthening for you to experience the mightiness and the awesomeness and the power of your God to love through you people that you're struggling with. That's why God can say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is something that humanly makes absolutely no sense, that as you look across the world today, most people are not doing, and yet Jesus' words are as revolutionary today as they were thousands of years ago. And the way that we fulfill those words and walk in them is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we walk in those words, the Holy Spirit is released to change the situation, to change people's lives, and to reach the enemies of Jesus Christ with his light and his love, and hopefully bring them into the kingdom. Finally, abide means to make our permanent home. Do you hear that? To abide means to make our permanent home. It means to really make a final choice deep within your spirit and in how you live your life about where you're going to live once and for all. Home is where your heart is, according to Bob Defina. It is where you want to be. Home is where you feel comfortable and can really be yourself. Home is where you bring your friends when you wish to be with them. Home is where you find your strength for life. It's where you eat and sleep. And finally, home is where the people and things we love the most are found. My question to you and me here today as we look at this text is, will you make Jesus your permanent home? Again, a confession. For a lot of my Christian life, I've had a number of different homes. And I know a lot of Christians who have lived the same way. Oh, we'll come to the Lord and have a home with him to some extent, but when that favorite other thing that we like to do that we know is against God's word and his command, or we know in our heart is wrong and we shouldn't really be doing it, we go ahead and do it anyways. It's called sin. It's a strong pattern in your life or whatever you've been struggling with in your life, and that's a home as well. And then there's something else we might be doing that we keep going back to as well, and it's apart from Christ, and that's another home that we have. And what the Lord is asking you and me here today is, will you finally make the step and begin to move out of those other places and come to me and live in our permanent home together? Just you and me abiding with me, allowing me to love you and care for you and be there for you and be in relationship with you and vice versa. And will you stop going to those other places that you go to that break our relationship, that break your abiding with me, that you know in your heart you have no business going to. I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. And will you come home to me? Will you stay with me? Will you pray to me? Will you be in the Word with me? Will you stay with me long enough that when you're getting bored because it's so quiet and nothing is happening in our time together, that you wait about 5 more minutes to see if I'm going to show up? That might be the one thing that's missing for you and me, is that 5 more minutes for him to show up in his presence in a way that will blow our socks off and change our lives for the rest of them. Abide with me that you may be fruitful. Abide with me that you will grow in love. Abide with me that you will keep my commands. Abide with me that you might have joy and that your joy might be complete. Abide with me because that is what you always were created to do. Big step. It's a big step. But it's an important step. And I hope you feel the weight of it right now. I know I certainly do.